This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the most important folk rock groups has been the British band Fairport Convention, founded in the late 60s. They started a new trend by playing traditional ballads from the British Isles on rock instruments and original rock songs influenced by traditional music. The person who was most credited with rocking this folk music was the guitarist Richard Thompson. He left the band for a solo career and performed with his wife Linda until they broke up in the early 80s. Richard Thompson is one of those great talents in music who never quite crosses over into the mainstream market, but many consider him among the best songwriters in rock and one of the most original guitarists. And on his new album, Rumor and Sigh, you can hear how expressive his singing is. Thompson lives in Los Angeles now and is about to go on tour. From his new album, this is a song about someone who's just gotten out of jail and feels so good he's going to take someone apart. It's called I Feel So Good.
Somebody's heart tonight. I feel so good. I'm gonna take someone apart tonight. They put me in jail for my deviant ways. 2 years, 7 months, and 16 days. Gone back on the street in a purple haze. I feel so good.
Richard Thompson, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
I think the song we've just heard, I Feel So Good, is, in its own way, deals with a kind of crisis that I think a lot of rock performers, rock songwriters get into in their late 30s or in their 40s. And that is, when you're past the stage of youthful anger and rebellion, how do you capture the kind of energy, frustration, and passion that you want to put into music? And you've done that in this song by writing in persona.
Yeah, I think that is a good way of doing it. I've never really enjoyed, you know, that thing where you write about your own life. I've always found it a bit far too, introspective. So it's interesting to use, you know, personas as a device and to use other characters as a way of expanding what you're able to write about.
How did you come up with this character?
I'm not very sure. It's a bit worrying, really, to think about it. It's a very worthless kind of character. You know, it's a fellow who's just come out of prison and he's not likable. If you make someone the subject of a song, you're almost suggesting that they're a hero, and this person definitely isn't a hero or even an anti-hero. He's a very unredeemed character. He may be slightly better than the society that created him, but I'm not sure that even that's a good thing. Very kind of morally bleak song. I think it's a song that throws the listener back on his own morality.
Do you ever write fiction?
You mean
outside of songs?
Oh, sit down and write fiction. Yeah, I suppose so. I write short stories. I'm not sure they're any good.
Because your songs remind me of short stories.
Yes, they kind of are. You're even more limited than you are in a short story, really. It's very hard to get character development into a song because a song's 3 minutes. And I think in a song you have to use devices to suggest a bigger picture, perhaps. You have to write very succinctly, and you have to use what's been called the keyhole effect, where it's as if you're looking through a keyhole at a very small part of something and you recognize the bigger picture from the small bits.
Have your stories ever been published?
Oh, I wouldn't show them to people.
Why not?
I don't think they're any good.
Oh. Now, writing songs in persona, writing stories about characters and songs, a lot of that was done in traditional English ballads, and that's the kind of music that's always influenced you. Do you feel that you've drawn on that in being confident in telling stories through songs or in describing characters in songs?
It's certainly a help to know the vocabulary, the vocabulary and the kind of imagery that's available from there is a wonderful jumping off point to create something contemporary. There's something about the resonance of the language that gives you almost, you know, instant reference points and instant success in trying to do something new.
Now, a lot of the English ballads were stories of murder and death and jealousy and deviance and imprisonment.
Things haven't changed too much. Really.
Right. Now, I want to play something else from your new record, and this may or may not be a Persona song. I mean, this is a song about being left by a lover, and this one could go either way. I don't know if this is autobiographical or not. Tell me something about writing the song.
Which song is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
You have to tell me first.
That's right.
I misunderstood. It's just a piece of imagination. I suppose it's based on, a lot of common human experience. Everyone has felt like that, and everybody's has been dumped, and everyone's had a hard time with relationships. So, it's just a love song.
Well, let's hear it. And this is I Misunderstood from Richard Thompson's new album, Rumor and Sigh.
She said, darling, I'm in love with your mind. The way you care for me, it's so kind. Love to see you again, I wish I had. Was laughing as she brushed my cheek. Why don't you call me angel, maybe next week? Promise now, cross your heart and hope to die. But I misunderstood. But I misunderstood. But I misunderstood. I thought she was saying good luck, she was saying goodbye.
Well, is the line, I thought she was saying good luck, but she was saying goodbye, is that the first thing that came to you in the song?
I'm not sure. I think the kind of guitar hooky riff was the first thing that I came to. I wrote it very quickly, so I'm not sure how things happened. Mm-hmm. I think also when you're writing, you're not really aware of what you're doing, which is kind of wonderful, really. It's like something else takes over and you're not responsible. So I'm really not responsible.
Now, you said before when I asked you about short stories, you said, do you mean writing while I'm sitting down? So are you usually writing songs while you're driving or walking or...
I don't know, really. I don't know, but perhaps some element of discomfort is very important in writing something. You know, if I'm comfortably sitting at a desk and nothing seems to happen, if I'm standing up pacing the room, it's far more effective. If I'm crouching on the floor, it's more effective. Walking down the street is better. Driving's good. You know, has to be something going on, I think.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you some things about your background. Now, your father... was a detective in Scotland Yard. Do I have that right?
He was, yeah.
Now, how much did he tell you about his work?
Hardly anything. He wasn't really allowed to.
Oh, so do you know if he ever worked on any celebrated cases?
Oh, yeah, he tells me now. he did a lot of stuff. He was on what was called the Murder Squad for many, many years.
What's that?
It's the team that investigates the murders
the Murder Squad.
Yeah, oh. in central London. What do you think I said?
I thought you said the Motor Squad. I thought he investigated motorcyclists or something.
Sorry, one of us has an accent problem. He was on that for a long time. They sort of move you around. I'm sure they do the same thing here. You know, that you spend so many years on one department, then they move you to Vice or, drugs or something. You know, they keep moving you around to stop you being corrupt.
My guest is British singer, songwriter, and guitarist Richard Thompson. He has a new album called Rumor and Sigh. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Richard Thompson is my guest. Now, a lot of British rock performers were inspired by the British blues revival. What effect did that have on you?
I probably went the other way. I think I was slightly repulsed by the blues revival.
Repulsed?
Well, I've always, you know, since I was about 11 or 12, I was listening to the blues, you know. And when the blues revival came along, there was suddenly like thousands of British kids playing, you know, what were really inferior versions of Howlin' Wolf and B.B. King and Otis Rush. And I thought, well, this can't be right. You know, this isn't really any good. This is always going to be nothing more than a pale imitation of this wonderful music. You know, kids living in the suburbs of Manchester, England, are never really going to capture it. Because, you know, there's things that you can't know, there's experiences you can't have about America and about being black and that way of life, you know. So I sort of went the other way, really. I think the blues revival and the popularity of soul music in Britain in the 60s really drove Fairport to traditional music, really, to an indigenous form of music.
So when you turned the other way and found music that was traditional in your country, the kind of folk ballads that you drew on, was that a return for you to that kind of music, or was that a brand new discovery of it?
It was a bit of both. I think we knew about it, you know, sketchily, really. We'd always, you know, hung out in folk clubs and listened to traditional performers, and we had a bit of it in childhood, and they ram a bit of it down your throat at school, you know. But actually, to really understand it and get into it, we had to do quite a lot of research. We had to do a lot of learning. We had to spend a lot of time with traditional musicians to learn our stuff, really.
What did you want to keep from rock and keep from traditional ballads when you merged the two?
Oh, good question. I think simplicity from rock music, simplicity and almost crudeness, roughness, and excitement and energy, seem to me the great things about rock and roll. The thing that I think jazz rock, for instance, hasn't got, jazz rock has taken all the wrong things from rock music and ditched all the good stuff, which is why, for me, it's less satisfying than traditional jazz. And from traditional music, you know, the indigenous reverberation that it has for British people, the quality of the language, and the excitement and the aptness of the rhythms, you know, as a musical vehicle and as dance music.
Why did you leave the band when you did?
I was writing a lot of songs that didn't seem to have any place in the band. It was very difficult for me to take those songs because they seem really rather eccentric songs, or rather bizarre songs. But it was,
like Henry the Human Fly?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that ended up on Henry the Human Fly, you know, which is a very eccentric album. And but it was a direction that I really wanted to explore, and it seemed it'd be better. I'd have more time to work on it if I was outside of the band. You know, I was reluctant to leave because they were all great friends, and we still are great friends. But, you know, bands have to change.
For many years after the Fairport period, you performed and recruited with your wife, Linda Thompson. And I think a lot of people assumed that the songs that you were singing were personal songs about your relationship together. I'm wondering if that is something you feel like you would never want to do again. In other words, to really sing with someone who you had that close a relationship and to sing songs about a relationship together.
First of all, I'd say that the songs really weren't about a relationship, whatever people might think. you know, again, the songs were fiction. What was going on in the subconscious? I mean, I don't know, but there's nothing deliberately written about, you know, people. Obviously, if you're writing for a man's voice and a woman's voice, you have to write some songs from a woman's point of view. So, if you're writing about relationships, then you know you have her angle, then you have his angle, and it almost looks as if you're writing a, you know, a kind of soap opera. But what would I like to do it again? It's difficult, you know, like all... I think it's a difficult thing to sustain, a career and a marriage at the same time, where you're in such close proximity all the time. You know, you're working together and you're at home together. Very hard thing to do. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Yeah. After you had broken up, you were still committed to a tour that you were scheduled for. So you were performing on stage after the breakup, and from what I know, it was a very rough tour for you. What was that like?
Very rough. It was a difficult thing to do. We shouldn't actually have done it. I think it was unfair on both of us and on the band and on everyone concerned. I suppose audiences got some kind of a frisson from watching, maybe. But I think it was just a little too gory, really.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Richard Thompson, and he has a new album called Rumor and Sigh. You became a Sufi Muslim, do I have that right?
Just Muslim would be a more accurate description.
Oh, okay. And how did you first become a Muslim? When was it, and what led you in that direction?
I had some musician friends who were Muslims, and I was very impressed by them as people. You know, I really liked whatever quality they had, which is, I suppose, kind of indefinable. You know, that they had a certain kind of nature about them, certainly kind of a way of carrying themselves that I was very impressed with, and I wanted to be like them.
Some people might find it paradoxical that years after becoming more spiritual, you're writing these really dark songs. Do you find any irony in that, or does that make perfect sense to you?
Not really, no. I might have spiritual aspirations. I mean, again, you know, I hate to, you know, to publicize, you know, this aspect of me. You know, it's kind of, you know, the private side of a human being. I'm a rock and roll musician, and you know, I'm full of, you know, doubts and worries and all this kind of stuff. You know, all this being a human being business, you know, gets expressed in the music. And also, I try and express what I see around me. And it's a difficult age for people, you know. It's an age of real frustration for people and real disappointment for people. You know, there's terrible things going on, and I think I really have to write about that.
Is rock and roll accepted in Islam?
Is Islam accepted in rock and roll? Is it accepted? That's a good question. I think we might need about 4 hours to answer that one. It's a difficult question.
Well, let me get back to your new record, Rumor and Sigh, and play another song from it. And this is called God Loves a Drunk. It's a terrific song. Would you say something about writing it?
I've never really equated spirituality with being sober. You know, I never liked those sort of, you know, TV evangelist types, you know, or the chaps who come and knock on your door, and they're all very neat and clean. They've got sort of polyester suits on and these very tidy haircuts, and they're very clean shaven and well presented. You know, I don't like all that. You know, I really don't like it. The people I think of as being spiritual that I've ever met in my life have actually been rather wild and outrageous almost, and they couldn't care less about, you know, what people think of them or what they look like, or they don't care about, you know, what they possess and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's really what the song's about. You know, the drunk is in a sense much freer and wilder than the rest of society.
Can you still drink as a Muslim?
I don't drink at all.
No. Yeah, but so it's just that you don't mind other people doing it.
I think some of the more interesting people I know actually drink to excess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a medicine for people sometimes. You know, in this society, there's a lot of pain. And it's like a medicine. You know, it's a destructive medicine. And it's killed a lot of people I know, a lot of friends of mine. But it's something to turn to. You know, it's a way out of the pain.
Well, let's hear your song, God Loves a Drunk.
Will there be any bartenders up there in heaven? Will the pubs never close? Will the glass never drain? No more DTs, no shakes and no horrors. The very next morning you feel right as rain. Cause God loves a drunk, lowest of men, like the dogs in the street and the pigs in the pen.
That's Richard Thompson from his new album, Rumor and Sigh. This is a real, instrumentally, you know, it's a real basic, like, man and his guitar kind of song. Do you like to occasionally, I mean, there's some really interesting production on this new record, but this is like an example of the record at its sparest. Mm-hmm. Do you like to save room in your repertoire for that kind of spare work?
I think so. I think it's very powerful to strip things down and be direct. I've always admired Hank Williams, who I think was one of the great songwriters and singers of the 20th century. And the thing that I learned from Hank Williams is just simplicity and directness. He's so straight from the heart to the heart, and that's a wonderful thing. And you can really reach people very directly in that way, I think. I do a lot of acoustic shows, you know, when I'm not working with a band. And you can certainly put lyrics across to people very, very strongly with just, you know, man and guitar.
Richard Thompson's new album is called Rumor and Sigh. His tour starts July 5th in Portland, Maine. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.